That's a great reminder that Chad shared with us about.
By the way, I hope y'all just realize how lucky we are to be led in worship every week by this amazing team and the work that they do. And it's just incredible. Great job for this team. It's a gift to be led into worship every week by this amazing team. It truly is. And I'm honored every Sunday to get to follow them and hopefully not mess up with the hard work they just did.
But what a powerful... I think two of my greatest gifts as a pastor are our communion and baptism. When we get to take communion every few weeks here, and when every few weeks when we have baptisms.
We have baptisms in a few weeks, by the way. If you'd like to talk to me more about baptism, we'll actually be having some baptisms later this month. So if you have any questions about that, I'd love to talk with you in the next few weeks.
But the beautiful thing about communion and baptism is what do we do to earn those things? Nothing. We just respond. Yeah. God makes us an offer of grace through the table and through the word. And we, as his followers, just respond back from the offer of grace he's given us. And grace, it blows our mind. Grace, if I'm being honest, offensive. Like, because it's kind of like when you drive. Like, everybody that drives slower than me is a grandmother. And everybody that drives faster than me is a maniac. You know?
Because you're the best.
Oh, I'm terrible. It is a well-established fact that I'm the worst driver you'll ever meet in your entire life. We all know that. Truth. Talk truth. That's truth. Andy's a terrible driver. Everyone worse than me is a bad person. Everyone better than me is a saint. You know what I mean? Like, in our mind, as bad as I am, they're worse. I'll never beat them. Because I want to earn it. I want to earn it. I want to make God love me. I want to be a good person. Really, that's a good thing. But what's so frustrating is we try so hard to be good and we fail so spectacularly at not being good. That's why it's so freeing to hear these words. And this is what we're talking about today. It's not about anything you'll ever do. It's really not. It's not about anything you'll ever do. It's not even about anything you'll ever believe. But you simply accepting the fact that God loves you more than your human mind can ever understand. That's what we're going to talk about this series. I'm very excited about this series called Truth. Because we're going to talk about what are some things that are true. What does truth mean? We're going to unpack why we're talking about that in just a second. But truth is an interesting concept. Truth is also so, like, we're going to talk about universal truths and relative truths. And what do I mean by that? What do we know is true? And why does truth matter? Why is this concept of truth important? And I'll tell you why truth is important. Let me tell you a story. You know, you can take me for a mission trip this spring break. And I'm going to go with him because you don't want to be stuck in Nicaragua with me. That's just like heaven on earth right there. My junior year of college, to my junior senior year, I took a foreign mission trip to Lithuania. And Lithuania is what they call a Baltic country. The Ukraine, everything's blowing up as we currently speak. Lithuania is right north of there. In fact, I think it literally is right north of the Ukraine. And what it was, this was in 1991, after the Soviet Union had crumbled, and all these former Soviet states were on their own and independent. And what happened is that when the Iron Curtain fell, these nations were receptive to the gospel. So they were sending missionaries there, and lots of missionaries were coming, and people were being saved, and the church was growing. And so a group of us from MC, Mississippi College, went to Lithuania on a mission trip. And what they did is we stayed with host families. So we would stay with local citizens. We didn't stay with any dormitory or college. We stayed with local Lithuanian citizens. And what they told us the last day was, so they said your host families, the people of Lithuania love flowers. They love flowers. So as a thank you, buy your folks some flowers. We're like, oh, that's a great idea. So I'm walking back to the apartment complex where they're staying, where I'm staying with them. And I saw a little flower shop on the corner. And I stopped and got some flowers. And I'm a Southern gentleman. I mean, I'm going to buy some good flowers. So I went up and bought the biggest bouquet of roses you've ever seen. And I was so proud of myself. I'm walking down the road and strutting because I was awesome. Everybody was looking at me funny. And they were jealous because they weren't getting these flowers. So I walk up the 10 flight steps to get to the apartment. I go inside. Tatiana's the mother. I say, Tatiana, the thing with these host families is this. Like, they spoke Lithuanian and Russian, and I don't even speak English well. So, like, they had to, like, interpret me. So it was terrifying for them and me as well. And I knocked on the door, and Tatiana's the mother. I said, Tatiana, for you. And I pointed at pictures. And she's like, oh, thank you, Andy. And I'm like, yeah, I'm awesome. She is overwhelmed by my generosity. I'm amazing. I'm like the greatest Christian in ever lived. Like there's Jesus and then me. Jesus, and you three, and then me. So that's kind of the story. I was like so pumped with myself. And so then I go back to my room. I had to grease up my head and get to the door post. And I'm sitting there all proud of myself. She comes to the door. She knocks on the door and says, Andy, from the flower tree, says, for dead man. Yeah, I give her a funeral ring. Yeah, I give her a funeral ring. You know, what is truth? You know, I hang out with my Mississippi State friends. Who's the best football team in the States? Depends on your perspective. What is truth? Truth is a really important concept. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about why we're going to talk about truth in the next few weeks, why truth matters. One of the amazing things that's happened at our church these last few years is how we've grown. And we have grown. We brought in new people, and some of you have been here for many years, and some of you, this is your first Sunday, and I celebrate both of those. But one of the things that I hope we do well here, and I'm sure we blow it. I'm sure we mess up every time, and I'm sure we do things wrong. I'm 100% positive we do it. Probably do more wrong than we do right, because we're human. But the one thing I hope we do, I really hope we do right, is that we love people. I truly hope that a single person comes to these walls, these doors of this church, or interacts with that faith in any way, and ever feels unloved. My greatest prayer as a church, as a people of faith, is that we love people. And that we err on the side of relationships. And that people matter because God made them. No matter who they are, no matter where they come from, no matter what's going on in life, that people matter because God made them and Christ died for them. And no one, as I've been saying some recently, you'll never meet a person. You'll never meet a person as long as you live that Jesus Christ didn't die for. C.S. Lewis says, everyone you ever meet is a supernatural being created for eternity. You'll never be a person as long as you live that won't live forever. You see, he calls C.S. Lewis says we're amphibians, part flesh and part spirit. Everyone matters. And my most sincere prayer as the pastor of this church is that for as long as we breathe God's air, that we'll be a place where people matter. That's first and foremost. But here's the thing. What unites us? We've got to have something that unites us, something that makes us unified, something that matters, and frankly, something even more than a vision. Because you know, if you've been in that area for more than 5 seconds, you've heard salt and light. You see on our walls kind of our vision here, know Jesus better. You know, we're called to be faithful and make a difference. Well, what are the universal truths that unite our church? What are the things that are essential to faith? What truly matters? Here to me is the most beautiful thing about that prayer. I was talking to somebody the other day. I judged a forensics attorney yesterday. It was neat to see that. And to be the judges, I always have a conversation about things. There's judges from all over the state. We're talking about different things. It was so neat to say, because I never lead. You know, I've learned I'm a preacher. And see, people say, what do you do? And they'll be acting one way, and they'll say, I'm a preacher. And they go, oh, well, I love Jesus too. I'm like, let's talk about football. We'll talk about Jesus later. I mean, I love Jesus, but we can talk about, like, I'm a real person too. You know, I am. So I very rarely lead with the fact that I'm a preacher. I very rarely lead with that. I don't want to, because that always changes the conversation. So we were talking, and they found out I was a preacher. Oh, well, my sister-in-law was running this long conversation about religion. I'm like, oh, no, you're going to offend anybody here. You know, it's just, it's like, no, that's great, wonderful. Heck of a fart, you know. About the weather, but I was describing Asbury to somebody. I said, you know, the great thing about Asbury is, we're about a third Methodist, about a third Baptist, about a third Catholic, about a third Presbyterian, about a third something else. Yeah, exactly. We got a lot of thirds around here. But that, I like that. My joke is I'm a Methodist pastor to a Baptist college and Presbyterian seminary. And that's for real. That's the actual truth. And I like the fact that we are an eclectic, diverse, theological body. So if you come to this church, you're going to see the fact that I have been greatly affected by the Wesleyan view of grace. And that grace is so stinking important. And we're going to be about grace here in a radical way. That grace is going to matter here like it matters nowhere else. And grace is so important. But you're going to also see that we value good preaching and good worship. That we want to be evangelical in how we talk about the Lord and how we treat the Bible and how we honor Him. But we're also going to have a little bit of Presbyterian view of some type of salvation and of grace and of mercy. And so we're just going to be a big old blob of stuff. A big old theological blob. I use the word mutt. I'm kind of theological mutt. And I'm okay with that. I've learned to stop being defined by labels that others place on me theologically and religiously. One of my favorite things ever was something Thomas Jefferson said. Thomas Jefferson, you can make a legitimate argument. Thomas Jefferson may be the most important person in the history of our nation. I mean, you can make arguments for other people, but you can make that argument with integrity. Say, Thomas Jefferson was it. Declaration of Independence, President, Constitution, Vice President. I mean, he did. If you can do it, he did it. And he said this. He said, when I die, all I want to be upon my tombstone is Thomas Jefferson, citizen. Because that's the most important title I've ever possessed. The citizen of the United States of America. When I draw my last breath, and they lay me in the ground, I don't want my tombstone, here lies a Methodist preacher. I don't want my tombstone, here lies a guy who went to a Baptist college. I don't want my tombstone, here guys, those to God, here lies a guy who went to a Presbyterian seminary. I want my tombstone, Andy Stoddard, Christian. Somebody that loves Jesus, that blows it every single day of my life, that does a lot more wrong than I do right, but that sincerely and honestly and passionately wants to know and love Jesus and follow Him, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And so today, as we're talking about truth, this month we're talking about truth. The reason why this matters is because, yes, we are diverse. And yes, we do value relationships. And all these things are so important. But there's got to be some truth that unites us. Something in the center. Something that is vital. Something that holds us together. Because if we don't have something that holds us together, we will tear apart in time. So what for us is truth? And not just what is truth for us, but what is truth? What are the things that we know, that we know, that we know that are truth? What is truth? And so today, we're going to start with, I think, what is the most important truth in life. There are certain moments that change your life, certain things that forever change the course of your life. Some of them are incredibly important. When Holly stupidly said, I did a few years back, you know, that was a terrible decision on her part, but I'm glad she did it. That forever changed the course of our life. When I was a junior in college, I went to MC, and I discovered actual coffee shops, actual good coffee. See, I'm an addict. I'm addicted to coffee. And like, so, seriously, I thought I was going to be in the other day. Like, I don't dip because, like, I just don't. I tried to dip in 7th grade, and I did really bad. I swallowed it and didn't go well from there. But I finally see today that, like, coffee grinds can dip. How great would it be if I had coffee 24/7? Wouldn't that, like, I didn't want to do it, but the fact that I can, like, have coffee in my system at all times, I think I would want to explode. I think I'm going to try just a scientific experiment to see what happens. Kristen's so excited about that. She can't wait. But, like, whenever I first tasted actual good coffee, like, not the stuff I shook my veins in the mornings, but, like, the real good stuff, it changed my life. Like, this is amazing. I need to spend all my money on this product right here. It's awesome. It's great. There are some moments that change your life that are trivial in the grand scheme of things. And some moments that are eternal. In some moments that do truly change your life in ways that you can't even fathom. Ways that change you in ways that your mind can't even understand. This is what truth matters. This is why this truth is so important. The truth of Jesus Christ as essential and central in all that matters. This is the greatest truth in your life, is Jesus Christ as the center of everything. And I'm going to tell you why there's no truth in your life that will ever matter as much as this one. You've heard me say it before, that when I was a little boy, when I was younger, my image of God was he was an old man in heaven with long hair and a beard who didn't like me. He was really angry Colonel Sanders, is the description I use. Like, he was an old man in heaven who really was not fond of me. And he could not wait until I made a mistake so he could smack me. My image of God. He was an angry old man out to get me. So I've done a lot of stupid things. I made a lot of mistakes. And I just knew that God didn't like it. I knew he was very disappointed in me. He's probably angry at me. And he probably deserved to be. I was kind of stupid. He probably deserved to be angry at me. That's what I believe God was. That's who I believe God to be. So our truth matters. So when I view God as an angry father who couldn't wait to smite me, guess what the one thing I didn't want to do at that point was? Spend time with him. Because how many of you, when you were younger, got in trouble, couldn't wait to go to your parents and say, "Hey, mom, I blew it. I'm awesome." No. Look at Adam and Eve in the garden. As soon as they fell, the first thing they did was hit them out. So when I view God to be a really angry man who didn't like me, the very last thing I wanted to do in any capacity was be around him. So I did the very minimum required of me by my parents. I went to church on Sundays because they made me. I went to church on Wednesdays because they made me. And that was about it. I didn't think he would die. I knew he didn't like me. I knew in my mind, my truth was the fact that God didn't like me. And I was afraid of it. Now, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That means a holy reverence, a respect. This wasn't reverence or respect. This was fear. That was the truth of my life. I was afraid of God. I was afraid. That was truth. Truth guides you. Truth determines how you view things. Truth determines who you were. And in my life, that is truth. Well, let's ask you a little what truth is. It says in Romans 8 that nothing in creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Neither height, nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So in other words, actual truth is this. that God loves me more than my mind can fathom, that God adores me, that God desires to know me, that God understands my faults and my failings and my mistakes. God knows who I am, knows my innermost thoughts, my innermost things. God knows me and still loves me. For me and my understanding, truth was that God didn't like me. But when you understand actual truth, you understand that God adores me, that God desires me, that God wants to know me. So my perception of truth was wrong. God's Word teaches us that God loves us more than we can ever understand. That is why truth matters. Because what you believe to be true will determine your life. And if we're going to be frank and transparent, Kelly was transparent about worship this morning, starting off, my greatest fear as a preacher is that church doesn't matter to you on Tuesdays and Thursdays. What I mean by doesn't matter is this: it has no impact on your life. That my greatest fear as a pastor is that the impact of church ends about noon today. That's not what I want. That's not what God wants. Truth should be that what we do here, worshiping Christ, should change our Tuesdays and our Thursdays and our Fridays and our Wednesday afternoons. That's what we've got to focus on, truth. Because what you believe to be true will determine your life. Put it like this. Look at your life and how it changes belief. Your life tells you what we have to believe. So then what is truth? The truth that matters the most in our lives is found in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. This is truth right here. And this is the truth that matters. Colossians 1, 15 through 20, which says this. This is Paul writing a song of praise to Jesus Christ, where he says, He is the visible image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creations. So, what moment changed my life? That right there, back up to that first minute, where it says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So my fear was this, my thought was this, God didn't like me. My truth in my world was that God was mad at me. My truth in my world was that God was disappointed in me. My truth in my world was that I wanted to run from God with all that I am. So, let's back up what truth says. Truth says, he is the image of the invisible God. So in other words, to know God, look at Jesus. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know who Yahweh is, if you want to know who the sovereign Lord of the Bible is, you want to know who the triune God of creation is, look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. To know God is to know Jesus. And what do we see when we see Jesus? We see, 2 weeks back I preached on what we call the Trinity. And this is what we see in Jesus Christ. One of our professors said, the job of the preacher is to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted. So let's look at the story of one called sin in John chapter 8. Sometimes, with that woman, we're in a bad spot. And Jesus tells her, as he lifts her up the floor, he says, Woman, where are those that condemn you? He says, I'm not here, Lord. He says, maybe do I can be. Sometimes in our life with that woman, and we are so sick of ourselves. We're so sick of our failings and our mistakes and our weaknesses. We know we should do better. I mean, come on, we all know we should do better. We know we should, but we can't. And we get so tired. We just get so... Sometimes religion can make you exhausted. You ever felt that way about religion? It can make you exhausted. Because you're trying so hard to be good. You really want to. You want to be right. But you find yourself over and over and over again falling into the same traps. Over and over and over again. The same mistakes. The same faults. The same everything. And you're sick of yourself. And you're tired of faith. And you don't want to pray. And you don't want to read the Bible. And you just want to quit and go about life. And you're beating yourself up. At that point, our Lord lifts us up the floor and says, What are those that condemn you? Neither do I. In the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our shame,
The midst of our faith and our Lord says, where are those that condemn you? Neither do I. It's no God. You gotta know Jesus. You're like, yeah, that's awesome. Sometimes when you hear that word. But look at the rest of the story. He says, where are those that condemn you? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. So here's the thing with sin. You know why God hates sin? Because he loves you. The reason why God hates sin so much is because God loves you. And every sin in your life, every sin, pride and greed and lust, and every sin in your life, every sin in your life, you can play it out to its end and it will destroy you. The reason why Jesus told the woman called adultery to go and sin no more is because if she continued making decisions she was making, it was going to destroy her. So on one hand, God loves you more than you'll ever know. God desires you. God wants you. God wants to be in a relationship with you. God loves you. He wants to save you. So there's that. But then because God loves you, he doesn't want you to do things that are destructive to you. He wants you to avoid mistakes. He wants you to avoid sin. He wants you to avoid things because he loves you. He desires you. About him. To know Jesus is to know God. And so in your walk today, is he truth for you? Or is the denomination that is truth? Our theology is truth. I have no problems with denominations. I've been in all of them. You know, if Christians can worship in that way, I've worshiped in that way. If Christians can believe it, I believe it. I love the denominations. But we aren't saved by our denominations. I love worship styles. I worship every way Christians worship. We aren't saved by worship styles. We aren't saved by philosophies. We aren't saved by religion. We aren't saved by theology. We are saved by Christ and Christ alone. So it says here, he's the visible image of the first of God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. So in other words, he created everything. He was with God in the beginning. He created it, and they were created by him and for him. He's the center. And so what I'm telling you, y'all, if he is not the truth, if your walk with Jesus is not the preemptive center of your walk, then you're going to go off stray. You're going to go astray. You're going to wander off. You're going to look the wrong way. If you're focusing on church, our theology, our worship styles, our your own life, our your own preferences, our your own stuff, then you're going to, and we're like ADD children with, yeah, that's me, that's my life. I'm so focused on everything else but God sometimes. I focus on my success and my pride. And so I live and die with church attendance. I live and die with the stuff of church. I live and die with my own pride instead of living and dying with Jesus. And if you live and die by anything but Jesus Christ, you will die. Anything but Jesus. Your job can end. Your family can disappoint. Your house can flood. Your world can crumble. If you are living and dying with anything but Jesus, you will be miserable. Only he is life. Nothing else. For all things were created through him and for him. He is at the center. He is before all things. And all things hold together through him. He is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in everything he may be preeminent. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Reconcile to himself all things. Reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. If anything but Jesus is at the center of truth in your life, you're going to wind up getting a funeral to Lithuania. Somebody's tweeting it. That's good stuff. That's truth right there. But you're going to get yourself off track. And you're going to focus on something that doesn't matter. And you're going to think you're doing all right. You're going to think you're doing all right. But you're going to be missing the point. Because it's about Jesus. And if your life, if your theology, if your philosophy, if your existence is about, has anything but Jesus Christ in the center of it, as good as it may be, as good as it may be, it will fail. Because only He's in the center. Now, when He's in the center, everything works right. I mean, everything. You ever play Jenga? It's going to shock you. I have no patience for Jenga. I just want to knock the whole thing over and change games. This is how I play Jenga. Knock over and leave. Basically, I'm basically an overwhelmed child all the time, basically. Look back at the facts. But you know, you pull things out. If I'm at this one spot, but you pull it out, it's going to get into the wrong. Jesus Christ is that in our lives. Well, He should be. If He's not, I'll promise. One of my favorite facts about Jesus' apostles is two of his apostles, one was Simon the Zealot, and one was Matthew the tax collector. We joke about Matthew. Ha ha, you tax collector. Everybody hates tax collectors. Ha ha ha. Well, yeah, everybody hates tax collectors, especially in Jesus' day. Let me tell you tax collectors were. Tax collectors were Jews that were traitors to their people. They were Jews that basically said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to work for Rome, and I will use the Roman army to get money out of you. So somebody owes Rome $100. And the tax collector will say, okay, here's the deal, guys. You give me $100 for Rome and $200 for me, and we'll call it square. Or if we don't, the Roman legion will wind up on your front door tomorrow and we'll burn down your house and kill you. So why don't you give me $300? And that's what they did. And that's what people did. And people hated the tax collectors. Hate the strong word. They hated tax collectors. Because they were thieves and they were traitors to their own people. The Jewish people hated the tax collectors. Okay, that's tax collectors. In Israel's day, there were a lot of political parties, a lot of factions. But one of the main factions were the Zealots. Zealots were a political party that basically wanted to overthrow Rome. They wanted to stir up anarchy and stir up a fight and get the revolution started. And they wanted to kill Romans. They wanted to kill Roman soldiers. So Zealots were the political party that wanted revolution. And Zealots, in their belts, at all times would carry a dagger. And the purpose of the dagger was this. If a Zealot had the chance to kill a Roman soldier, they would take that chance and kill the soldier with a dagger. The only people that the Zealots hated more than the Romans tax collectors. Because the tax collectors were Jews who were traitors to their people. They hated them. They hated them. Oh my gosh. Hated them. And yet, who were two of Jesus' apostles? Matthew, the tax collector, and Simon the Zealot. That can't happen apart from Jesus. A life that has peace, a life that has purpose, a life that has a goal, cannot happen apart from Jesus. And if you don't get this truth right in your life, you will not get anything else right in your life. Jesus Christ must be in the center of your life. The essential. Nothing else will work right without that. Not that other stuff isn't good. Not that other stuff's not great. But unless Christ is in the center, nothing else will work right. Because He is life. No matter what religious tradition you come from, no matter what your philosophy, no matter matter what you believe, it's got to start first with Jesus. He's the foundation. Nothing else but Him matters. So today, in your life, what's in the center? If it's not Jesus, your life may look great on the outside, but inside you're going to notice something's not right. Today, what's in the center of life? Let's pray.